Well, thank you for joining us today. Our first broadcast partner coming to these microphones is Colonel Bob McGinnis in the Washington, D.C. area. He covers geopolitical activities for us, and we want to get right into these discussions with Colonel McGinnis about what is going on. Bob, a lot of issues to cover. There is a report coming out of the intelligence community in Great Britain that a strike on Iran is likely by 2014. Now, this intelligence community, are they talking with some pretty good knowledge about this? And does that mean that the Israelis might do a preemptive strike within the next whatever we have before then, when there will be a weapon of mass destruction in Iran?
Well, there's certainly a lot of speculation. That's out of MI6. The chief apparently was overheard at a social gathering discussing the issue, but he said this sort of thing in the past. We know the Brits and the Americans, through their acknowledgement, and obviously the Israelis, have been conducting clandestine operations, the Stuxnet, and, you know, perhaps assassinating some nuclear scientists in Iran and creating all sorts of havoc to slow the process. But, you know, this MI6 chief argues that, in spite of all of this, it looks as if it's less than 2 years away. So we're talking 2014, that they may have a weapon. Now, whether or not they'd be able to deliver it on a Shabab 3 is questionable.
Yes, that is the case. But Israelis are concerned. They're fearing that the window for an Iranian strike is closing on them. So they have to be calculating what to do as well in these next couple of months.
Yeah, well, they're concerned not only about the nuclear program, but conventional threats. And, of course, the Iranians have recently had one of their prophet exercises where they showcased the Shabab 3 that has a 1,200-mile range, and then they used it against mock targets. And admittedly, the Iranians have improved the accuracy and the firepower of some of their ballistic missiles. So this is somewhat disconcerting and something we have to watch carefully.
What about the report coming out of Washington that the United States, they're really preparing to send drones into the Persian Gulf area, some submergibles, I'm not quite sure what that is, into that area because of what may develop if there's really military pressure or what other kind of pressure they could put on Iran?
Yeah, well, they're talking about submersibles, the Sea Fox. That was a joint project, cost about $100,000 each. They have a 100-pound, you know, shaped charge, and basically they're suicide mission type of pieces of equipment that are launched by large helicopters that we have stationed, MH-53 Sea Dragons, and they drop them in the water, and these things pursue these underwater mines that would threaten a warship or even an oil tanker. This in addition to a variety of anti-mine systems, and we've really ratcheted up our whole presence in the Gulf, sending a very clear signal to Iran that we're not going to tolerate any action on their part that might threaten the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, do you think this is a preemptive move by the U.S. military, or do they believe that they could have a confrontation with Iran?
No, I think it's preemptive. It's sending a very clear signal. And the Iranians are beginning to feel the pinch of the oil embargo and the other embargoes. We released them on Thursday this week, a host of additional sanctions. And there's even a legislator there in Tehran who's, you know, saying basically, you know, is it really worth all of the pain that the ordinary citizens of Iran are suffering just to have a nuclear program? So it must be having some impact. But in time, we'll see whether or not Ali Khomeini, the Grand Ayatollah, who really is making these tough decisions, whether or not he's willing to cave. And if he does, then it probably will lead to the demise of his regime, even though he is a senior cleric.
You know, I am somewhat at a disadvantage, Bob, as it relates to what's really going on among the military. You have a greater insight because of your vast years of experience there. But I did read that it seems one of the military leaders in Washington was talking about, hey, you can be concerned about the nukes, but don't forget their conventional weapons as well. Now, what is that meaning? What is that? How do we understand what they're talking about there?
Well, everything's a conventional weapon unless you have a nuclear warhead attached to it. And their ballistic missiles, as I indicated earlier, are getting more accurate. They have thousands of them, large and small. They have a growing navy, even though they can't contest us. And, of course, they have a very large ground force. And the Revolutionary Guard have a world presence. Now, you know, they aren't up to our standards, but they do have capability, which we can't dismiss outright. And that's what we're talking about, an ability to use standard power-based systems to go after your adversary on the seas or in the air or on the ground.
Well, indeed, we're going to have to continue watching this story. The Iranians, of course, a major concern among all world leaders, and in particular, the Middle East, and to be more specific, Israel itself. Israel's concerned about what's happening at its northern border as well. Let's change the focus a bit. A lot of pressure being applied to Bashar Assad to step down. Another massacre of over 100 people killed within the last couple of hours. This is a story that's not going away. Are they going to be able to get Assad to step aside?
Well, I don't know that he's going to volunteer, and Moscow said that he can't have exile up there. Perhaps someone else will offer him a sanctuary where he can go. And that's the only way some of these people are going to leave. It's either on their back or, someone's going to provide some type of guarantee that they have a place to go. But, the equation is beginning rather sticky. The Russians, of course, have warships and maneuver in that area, 11 warships. And then they're going to apparently visit Syria and Tartus. And, of course, the Russians have been providing all sorts of weaponry. They provide intelligence and the like. Iran does much the same. And Assad just continues to butcher his own people, fighting the resistance. Now, of course, the resistance, the rebels are being armed by the Saudis, the Qataris, perhaps a couple of others, with the participation of the Turks and some others as well. So it's quite a quagmire of issues. I don't know that we're going to have near-term resolution unless there is a coup. And, of course, the whole idea of a coup has been talked about. If Assad were to be assassinated and some general or some senior dignitary in that government were to stand up and say, okay, I've cut off the head of the dragon and it's time to negotiate with the rebels, then perhaps we'll begin to see some change here. But it could last for months and months yet if there's no rapid change here.
Bob, you mentioned the Russians and their warships doing some maneuvers near Syria. Is that a show of force? Is that a show of endorsement for Assad? What do you think it is?
Well, it can be a little both. And keep in mind, Vladimir Putin has said he's going to increase presence in the shadow of what was the former Soviet Union. They had a presence in the Mediterranean. They pulled down some amphibious vessels, a variety of others. The Admiral Kuznetsov, which is a flagship, which is going to lead the way and show the flag in the Mediterranean for the first time, really in a major way for many, many years. They had one that stopped in Libya a few years ago, but nothing significant like this. And it suggests that perhaps they will go to the aid of Syria if, in fact, the world community no longer has any toleration, decides to launch some sort of attack. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Russians are aware of that. But the Russians are certainly showing their presence, and they want to communicate that they are not to be dismissed in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm going to be unkind to you. Give me 15 seconds on the battle going on between the new president of Egypt and the military there.
Well, it's really a compromise if they're going to coexist, and the president has to coexist. The military's going to tell him what he can and cannot do, and the military's not going to tolerate the Muslim Brotherhood changing that into a radical Islamist state.
Very interesting. We're going to have to stay on top of that story as well. Colonel Bob McGinnis from the Washington, D.C. area. He gives us a look at the geopolitical activities, details behind all of the headlines as it relates to these current events happening across our world. Bob, thank you so very much. Appreciate your input to us. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.